Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your truth that never changed. Thank you, Lord, I pray for giving us the opportunity to lift up our voices together, to come together in prayer, to come together as a church family. Thank you, Lord. It's such a blessing. Help us to be able to give you this time in ways that honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been looking at Advent this year a little differently as a kind of a COVID Christmas, we've kind of had to redefine some of the terms that we're used to using. There's a lot of people that have been running around saying that it's just not fair that they can't see their families. It's just not fair that they can't go shopping the way that they would normally do. It's just not fair that, fill in the blank. You know, the first week we talked a little bit about fairness. And how maybe we shouldn't seek what the world calls fairness quite so diligently. Maybe it's more about righteousness. Last week, we talked about the importance of being ready and prepared. So many of us spend so much time preparing for Christmas. We buy all of our Christmas presents. We get all of our Christmas decorations. We make sure that we're ready and prepared. But last week, we talked about why maybe readiness and preparation are a bit different than that. Maybe it's less about getting all your ducks in a row and more about preparing your heart, being ready for when God wants to use you. And I purposely let that dangle ambiguously last week. Purposely didn't say, well, how do you get ready? What does it mean to be ready? Because I was hoping that all week long you'd be saying, but how do I get ready? How do I do this? How can I be prepared? And prepared for what? You've just been waiting with bated breath, right? Okay, let's look at the story so far. So far, we've had the patently unfair calling of Mary to be a mom. It's not what she asked for. She had her plans. She's an unwed mother. I just read an article the other day about a priest that said he had to leave the Catholic Church when he realized that God forced her to carry this unwanted baby to term. Like, that is so not the way to look at this. That is so not the way to look at this, because Mary called herself blessed. She felt blessed. Her immediate reaction was to say, I am the servant of God. I am happy to do this. It's not fair. It's not what she was preparing for, but she was prepared. And she said, you know what? This is so much better than anything that I could have ever imagined. It was patently unfair for Joseph to be saddled with a fiance that he thought had already cheated on him. So he did the patently unfair thing of protecting her and making sure he divorced her quietly so that she would be safe and he would be the only one to take the brunt of the stigma of everything. And it's patently unfair that the angel said, no, no, take her home, love her, let her be your wife. Patently unfair. And yet he was happy to do it, because the reason he was going to divorce her quietly was because he loved her. He still loved her, even after he thought she cheated on him. He still loved her and wanted to love her and loved her well. And he was happy to bring her home and be her husband and the father of her child and to raise that child well in his carpentry workshop. Because this was so much better than what he had prepared himself for. They went to Bethlehem because they were supposed to go to Bethlehem for the census. And it was patently unfair that there was no place for them to spend the night. There were no rooms available for them. And yet God had prepared something far better, a private room with a nice little feeding trough. Not exactly what you would have liked, but I doubt that any other room that they could have found in an inn or somewhere would have had something as nice as a feeding trough to set a newborn baby in. No, this is so much better than what they had prepared themselves for. So when you're talking about fairness, when we're talking about being ready and prepared, we're not just talking about making sure that when God says, here's what I want you to do, you just go, oh, cool, then I'll do that. because it never works like that. Not just like that. To prepare for God's use of you, you have to prepare the same way that a concert pianist prepares, or that that we prepared as we were practicing for football. How do you prepare? You be ready on a daily basis. You prepare during all those nothing much is happening right now moments in your life. You prepare your heart. You wake up this morning and you say, today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what happens. I will rejoice. If it's a good day, I'll rejoice. If it's a hard day, I will rejoice. So that way I train myself to have the muscle memory of rejoicing. Every night when I go to bed, I pray, thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, thank you for today. No matter what the day is, no matter what has happened, I have to start that prayer with, thank you for today. Sometimes that is more of a conscious effort than other times, but it's a daily discipline. So that on those days where God says, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to require you to respond the right way, and it's going to hurt and it's going to be hard, I already have that muscle memory. When the time comes, a concert pianist cannot hold a concerto, hold a concert, and sit down for a recital, what have you, and think about every time he touches one of the keys. It's got to be muscle memory. It's got to flow because he or she has practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced to the point where it's just natural and organic and fluid. When I was playing football, we had to practice and practice and practice so that when I hiked the ball, I was the center. So when I hiked the ball, my reaction was immediate. It was instinctive. I knew exactly what I was going to do. In fact, I remember doing laps with the lineman one time in practice, and one of the tackles said, why are we running laps for half an hour? You do realize we never move more than like 2 yards at a time, right? It's just always hike, good, end of the play. That's what we're doing. Why are we doing laps? And I actually had to think about that for a minute. I'm like, oh, he's right. We never do really go anywhere. But then I remember thinking, no, we're running for half an hour to build up the stamina so that we can run those 2 yards full tilt, play after play after play for 2 hours. We're doing this to build up our endurance. Mundane though this is, to build up our endurance so that on Friday night when we're having our game, we can go full tilt through the entire game, through the end of the fourth quarter. If we were to wait to do what we're called to do only on Fridays, we'd be the worst team in the whole conference. But if every day we practice, every day we practice fumble drills, every day we practice snaps, every day we practice building up our cardiovascular system, if every day we practice doing the most mundane things, kick after kick after kick after kick, then when we're called to do it on Friday night, we do it in a way that honors why we're being called to do it. It's the same thing with us as Christians. To wake up every morning and to respond in a way that lets God prepare our hearts every day. Not always for happiness, but with joy. Happiness says everything's comfortable, it's great. Just like the world looks for peace, everything's great, there's no conflict. Joy says it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I can still be in a good place. The world can be churning, but I trust God. I know what's going on in my heart. I know that He knows what's going on. I'm walking with the Lord. I can have joy. Joy to carry an unwanted baby. Joy to embrace a seemingly unfaithful spouse. Joy to share the good news. Joy. Because we're told that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby outside of Bethlehem, watching over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Which cannot be what they were expecting. Well, the whole thing wasn't what they were expecting. Suddenly, this great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Not peace to everybody, but there's going to be a great peace for anybody that is walking with the Lord. Not that everybody suddenly has no conflict and the world just becomes warm and fuzzy. No. But for those with changed hearts, God's peace. God's peace, not the world's peace. When the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "What? Well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has just told us about. Let's do that." Because they were ready. They were prepared. They were full of joy because of it. Joyfulness comes from readiness, from a sense of God's fairness, not the fairness that we would seek out for ourselves. So they hurried off. I love that. They were ready and they were excited and they had such joy that they hurried off. They immediately went and did it. Just like Mary immediately said, "Yep, I'm your servant." Joseph immediately said, "Yep, I will take her home to be my wife." They said, "Yep, we're going to hurry off." And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just like the angel said. And when they had seen him, what'd they do? They went quietly back to the fields because it's the middle of the night. No, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They told everybody because joy, by definition, needs to be infectious. It needs to be to say, this is what it's like to be right with the Lord. We need to be able to share that. They hurried off. They went and they found what God was calling them to, and they told everybody. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. So many people being blessed. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and now all these people blessed by the unfair, joyful event. Unfair to Mary, unfair to Joseph, unfair that they had to be in a stable, unfair, but wonderful. Because God is right, and he knows what he's doing. And all these people were prepared and said, "Yes, Lord." Praise God. Praise God. Mary treasured all these things up, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. So much praise, so much joy. That comes from preparation. God's peace, not the world's. God's fairness, not the world's. So how can we apply that today? How can we apply that during the Advent season? How can we apply that still in these last couple of weeks of 2020? How can we apply that? How can you apply that? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you help us to know every day how to decide every day to make every day practice. We never know when the game is. So I pray, Lord, help us today. Say, this is the day that you've made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray, Lord, help us to always be ready to be wearing the sandals. I pray, Lord, help us always to be excited and ready to share your good news with the world around us. I pray, Lord, help us every day to prepare ourselves for that. And I pray, Lord, today and this week, for any time that we find ourselves fretting, grumbling, or looking at the person across from us in an aisle and saying, that person just so bothers me and they're so wrong. I pray, help us to look at them and say, there goes a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ or someone I really wish to be. Help us to let the world's way of looking at things fall by the wayside every day, consciously, and to trust you every day, consciously. We give this to you and pray that you be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Shine that, reflect that on all those around you in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Keep the light burning. Reflect it. Have a wonderful day.